You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk, movie musings for mostly everyone. Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week I'm your chunk.
I'm Doge, and you know, hope is a mistake. If you can't fix what's broken, you'll go chunk.
I loved that.
And I'm Carter, and what a hunk! What a lovely hunk!
I thought one of you was going to do, I had a baby brother. He was hunky in every way. Yeah. I had a baby brother.
Carter, I wish you would have read the stage direction before your quote. Are you reading that? In the midst of a massive violent sandstorm, yeah. After witnessing his fellow war boys sucked off the war rig into a vortex.
Phenomenal.
That's powerful. Hey, why are you the hunk?
I'm the hunk. Because in 2015,
wow.
I saw a movie with the two of you. This was 7 years ago.
Boof.
I saw this very movie with both of you before.
We went on a Saturday. Saturday morning at like 10 a.m. Do you remember
Phenomenal.
That? Like this was like such a grandpa showing of this movie.
Phenomenal.
I had breakfast in the theater.
Yep. Phenomenal. And what got you guys, y'all would have seen this regardless. I know I grew up on like George Miller Mad Max. Mm. And I wasn't sure if y'all had. But I did I invite y'all or did we just all say, let's all see it together?
So my memory of it is this was a movie that we saw a trailer for when we saw, I believe, one of the Hobbits together.
Mm.
And
yeah.
All three of us were just like, oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, let's go see that.
We'll talk about the tinglies that gave me in more detail later. But different kind of tinglies.
the Hobbit?
We were at Alamo Drafthouse, which is our favorite spot.
I think that might have been my first time there.
Oh my God.
I think it was also my first time there.
Oh my God. Shout out Alamo Drafthouse. They have themed menus. Now they're slowly working this back, understandably. I would imagine one of the first budget cuts when theaters are just kind of...
Is fancy food.
I got a theme menu for Spider-Man No Way Home.
I'm saying like, but that's the
Doge,
top.
Just pay attention, dude.
It used to be that it was like half the new movies you saw had some kind of theme menu.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
So we're going and there's something called Mother's Milk. And I say, oh, that's nice. I believe it was some kind of alcoholic drink with some creamy component.
It was like a spiked milkshake.
Spiked milkshake. And I'm like, oh, amazing. I'll have Mother's Milk, please. And I wanted to order this before the movie began so that I would not have the crouching tiger like going in front of me to like put up the mug or whatever.
I prefer the hidden dragon approach.
As if I would have even noticed anything happening because my eyes are glued completely on the sandscape of Fury Road. Anyways, I'm sipping through this. I even recall wiping some off my chin, maybe my neck. I might have missed at one point. And there's a scene that comes up to where Mother's Milk is revealed. The wonderful thing about Alamo Drafthouse menus, themed menus, is that they get pre-screenings. So they get to do these fun things that are on theme with the experience you're about to have. Even on like day one, like the menus are there too. What a fun job that would be to come up with. I think we would kill that, by the way.
Yeah, that would
so
be so
too.
Fun.
Here we had Mother's Milk and it shows us the scene of Mother's Milk. And I have Mother's Milk in my mouth at the time.
Yes.
Mm. And These two, I guess, being their first Alamo Drafthouse experience, knew that I was ordering this. Everyone knew that I had Mother's Milk, and it's in my mouth, and it was
visceral.
It was a visceral experience.
I remember just slow looking at you. That's all I remember. Just a slow head turn of like, oh no.
Oh wow, Carter.
I do remember finishing it, but it might not have been as quickly as I had hoped before. It tasted different. After that,
sure. Yeah, you changed, not the drink.
This was a special moment for us to see this together. And the last time
I think I'll never forget that. I think I'll never forget that for my whole life.
Same. I can't believe it's the last time you saw it. We'll get into that here in just a second. We've got, I'm sure, lots of stories about this movie viewing experience. But before we do that, we should probably identify the movie because nobody can tell from this opening what it is for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're continuing. This is our second installment of our Five for Fighting. And we're gonna round out this second fifth with Mad Max. Oh, I'm sorry, with a movie known as Mad Max Fury Road. This fits into our international action film franchise due to being an Australian film. But before we talk about it any further, I do need for Doge to give us a synopsis.
This week's IMDb synopsis comes to us from our very own Road Warrior, Nick Reganis.
I knew it.
Ooh.
I knew it.
He's got to review this one. I mean, the king synopsify
has returned.
After a narrow escape in the barren deserts of the dystopian wasteland, the solitary post-apocalyptic survivor, Max Rokitansky, struggles to stay one step ahead from the water-controlling overlord Immortan Joe's marauding gangs, the Wild Boys. However, Max will soon cross paths with one of Joe's elite lieutenants, the fearless warrior Imperator Furiosa, who has just fled the Citadel in her heavily armored war rig truck, absconding with an irreplaceable quintet of wives. Now the powerful tyrant and his hordes of delusional zealots are after the unlikely team of Max and Furiosa. However, before the unforgiving wasteland's deadly immensity.
Wow.
Before the unforgiving wasteland's deadly immensity, who has what it takes to survive?
Nick.
Flex on him, Reganis.
Powerful.
Good grief.
Mercy me.
Powerful.
Phenomenal.
Just want to be his best friend. It's all I want, Nick.
Rokitansky.
Rokitansky, even.
Yeah, what a name.
Not since the days of, what was it that we watched with Idris Elba? Pacific Rim. Have names been so en point.
Exactly. En point.
This movie holds a very special place in my heart for two reasons. Number one, we saw it together and it was a movie we were incredibly stoked about.
Yeah.
Always a good time to walk in just
and it lived
knowing
up.
It's going to be awesome. And it lived up. That's
walk
a good part.
In knowing it's going to be awesome and then it is
and exceeds
awesome.
Even. And then also, I don't know if you guys remember this, Callie left for Pine Cove, which is a camp around here, to go be a counselor that morning. I said bye. I went, woke up, got coffee with her. And then she left to go be a counselor. And I announced to you boys when Carter showed up for us to drive together that Operation Engagement Ring had begun. So I was saving up saving up for an engagement ring that summer while she was
phenomenal.
Gone. And
I
that was the
about
day
that.
It began. So that was Mad Max Fury phenomenal. Road was my last entertainment purchase for Dude. The like 2 months that she was gone.
Phenomenal.
I guess this was probably my last, if it was that, I didn't remember what time this came out. That was probably my last time hanging out with you guys before I moved to Washington that summer.
Yeah, you moved pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
So this was a very special day for us.
Look at that.
If someone came to me and said, hey, I've never seen movies. Can you give me the crash course? Like, what about them is so awesome? Like, what's so great?
So would you show this to an alien?
If I had, essentially that's what I'm saying. If I had to pick five movies that encompass, like if I had to pick like a really like in, like powerful moving movie that really like stirs the emotions. And then if I had to pick like a great
Green
comedy
Book,
and then I had to pick, you know, like if I had to pick these highlight movies, Mad Max Fury Road, this is everything good about action movies.
Yeah.
It's everything good. It's loud. It's intense. It's thrilling. It's beautiful to look at. It sounds incredible. Like this movie doesn't miss. This is probably a top 10 all-time movie for me.
It is certainly for me.
Yeah.
At the time this came out, I had, when that movie was announced was around the time that I just got the bug that I definitely get to. I had the itch I got to scratch now on a weekly basis with Two Chunks and a Hunk. But I had dabbled in like movie blogs before.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a blog called Let's Be Real, R-E-E-L, for all you creatives out there.
Yeah, I remember this.
And wrote about this because my experience with this, I grew up on Mel Gibson, another Aussie, Mad Max, and then Road Warrior, and then Thunderdome. Like it's... These were always these really weird, almost grindhousey type movies. This is a Mel Gibson introduction. I looked this up. He was 22, 23 when the first Mad Max came out. And he's kind of a George Miller product. Miller found this kid and was like, I want you to play this role. And ever since then, really, I would attribute Mad Max to Mel Gibson in Hollywood being locked in for the unstable character. He's always...
Legitimately.
If he's not like popping his own shoulder back in Lethal Weapon, getting gutted and screaming in Braveheart, he's talking to a puppet. He's talking through a puppet, right? It's just like the man is unhinged, and it was perfect for this setting. I remember seeing a review, and this is in the midst of Avengers first peak.
Yeah.
Seeing a review that said from multiple top critics, greatest action movie of all time.
Hmm.
And I says, I mean, what if, right? And I have this optimism that I'm like, but what if it is? And it's Rotten Tomatoes critic score was just wild. And to me, I feel like one of the only people in my group of friends that knew anything about Mad Max. It didn't matter as a franchise film. Yes, we touch on it a bit in the script, but I could not believe that this was championed and that this made the kind of money that it did. And that this won 6 Academy Awards, nominated for 10. I could not believe it. And I would say, I would agree with those critics. And I know we poo-pooed on some critics just a couple of weeks ago. I would say this is my favorite action movie of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's really hard to argue, to be honest. I think it'll take a while for you to change my mind. But I could not believe. And I want to, I know I've taken up a lot of time early. I want to do my super dump. I want to do my super pump now.
Oh, super pump.
My super pump is what I'll just call Vision. George Miller, there are so much wonderful stories, even from his leads, of being like, I wasn't sure, right? I wasn't sure. And George Miller isn't just hitting home runs. He ends up being he's not even like a Stanley Kubrick. You know, he's just doing these things that are absolutely wild. You just know he's going to have a vibe. He's like Guy Ritchie. He feels, all Guy Ritchie movies feel the same. For Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron to come back later after seeing the first screening and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. For George Miller to choose his wife to help edit this film.
Yep.
For him to have a cinematographer that logged over 400 hours. From the jump, this man who wrote and directed this film knew exactly what he wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah, this is auteur vision to a T.
And he completely delivered. What a flex. He was not surprised. Believe that. This movie was done and hit theaters. He's like, great, that's exactly what I was looking for. Are you kidding?
That's what I wanted to make.
George Miller's vision and his commitment to that.
Yeah, man.
And it's one thing to like say, hey, let's all get together and make this Vine. Let's all make this, you know, you get 5 of your friends to come do that. You said not only that, you said in 2015, when a lot of people's favorite superhero is a CGI'd version of like Bruce Banner, right? It's like all these things are happening. You say, we're going to have 90% of this be practical effects. Let's go to the desert.
Let's crash a bunch of cars and blow some stuff up in a desert together.
What? Also props to the people to commit to this, you know? But
I was wondering that. Like, how does he sell this to his actors? You know what I mean? Like, what is the pitch
He didn't. That's the problem is that Tom Hardy, well, not that he didn't, but Tom Hardy and Charlize specifically, that's what Carter was saying, had to come back around and be like, sorry for being a pill on set. You were right.
No, that's what I'm wondering. Like, what about this made them say yes? Because obviously watching it finished, who wouldn't say yes?
Yeah,
but like
course.
When somebody's like, and then they drive past the crow people in the bog, and then Tom Hardy himself, capital T, capital H, Tom Hardy, this is when you get your fourth line of the movie.
Right.
An hour and a half in.
100. And he's even like, if you want to go back at the Mad Max franchise, if you're studying up as the actor or anybody on the crew and you're just watching Mel Gibson and Tina Turner in a cage match, and that's supposed to be what you're like, oh, it's going to be this? I understand this being iconic because it's so different. And it's its own apocalyptic vision that nobody has really touched since unless you created Borderlands. But it's it's just like bizarre to me that he was able to do this. And much of my academic life is spent researching charisma. And that's got to be what it was. How else can you get that many people to commit? And it is sweeping, friends. It is not like it's not the one act play of our Train movies. It's not 8 people that can interact with each other. It is Helm's Deep-esque.
Yeah.
Massive massive amounts of extras. They went ahead and credited about 95 people in this movie.
Wow.
I can't believe it. Someone gave him $150 million in 2015 to do an all practical effects movie in the desert.
That's what is, so like, awesome.
That's crazy
so
to me.
Sick.
Because Warner Brothers would never do that today.
And no one knew it was good until it was done being edited.
Yeah. On the other side of the success of doing that with Mad Max, Warner Brothers has, it feels like, they put, after Mad Max, put all their eggs in the Justice League DC basket.
Yeah,
just focused on chasing Marvel. And it's like, guys, what's going on?
You had this. You could have done this again. Yeah, man. It's just, look.
Mad Max, its Metacritic score is 90.
Of course.
Wow.
I want to meet somebody who watched this and was like, nah.
Yeah, who doesn't like this?
We saw the beginning of this, the first chase.
I mean, probably
I forgot how big of a deal the first chase is in this movie.
For sure.
We'll get to that. I know Jordan will lead us through that. And I remember being like, man, I forgot they front loaded it so much. And then
nope.
And then it never stopped.
Nope.
I forgot that there was so much wonderful presence.
Okay, you said that. Can I super pump then?
Oh, come on, here we go.
I know. Yeah. Come on, here he goes. He's talking again on the podcast.
Mike Ehrmantraut?
I was about to say that was a little Mike. He's
just
talking
let
again.
Let me die, Walter.
Just let me die, Walter. He's talking again on the podcast. That's not a bad mic. Oh, I was going to super pump.
You were.
There. Yeah. It's the continuing escalation of the action. The fact that it crescendos for the entire 2-hour runtime of this movie, when the movie itself is structured pretty episodically.
Yeah.
It's almost like for maybe like the Odyssey, where it's like, hey, here's this challenge we have to fight.
Yep.
Here's this challenge, and now a new challenge, and now a new challenge. Maybe a little bit like Xena Warrior Princess, where it's like, here's the weird thing of the week.
Right.
Here's the weird thing
of the
week.
It's like chapter one, strapped to the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Chapter two, in a semi-truck.
But mm-hmm. the way that each episode, each chapter is more intense than the chapter before. And not just like barely. It's like The moment that it stood out to me that I realized, like, oh, this is what they've been doing, like, and really started to look back and try and catalog how it was building was the guys on the swinging poles, like, right at the very end.
Dude.
It's like, that's the coolest thing. And they saved it for, like, one of the last episodes, one of the last chapters of this movie. But just the way that, like, okay, we know how to, it's almost video gamey, where it's like, we know how to defeat the little spiky cars. So next time we're going to have spiky cars and guys with bombs. And then after that, we're going to have guys with bombs, but they're different cars this time. And they have some motorcycles there. And it's just like,
it's a boss introduce, rush. Yeah.
The
neighboring
absolutely.
Cities are going to bring all their bosses.
Yes.
There is, you start the movie and you're like, oh no. And then like a minute and a half later, you're like, oh no. And like 5 minutes later, you're like, oh no, dude.
Yeah.
And like 10
Most
minutes
of my
later,
watching
like,
it, my
oh,
face is just like,
no, like, yeah, you just spend the whole movie.
So the first full 30 minutes is an action set piece. I timed it last night. I paused it right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So the entire first 30 minutes is a full on action set piece, culminating in Max getting in the truck with Furiosa.
Speaking of vision, there's something to be said about George Miller, the cards in like saying the phrase of like held his cards close to his chest. His cards are made of pure crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
But he like
Guzzling.
In that opening scene when Max is running away and hooks up on that thing, he's holding his cards though. They just get him back. In my mind, he's going before the mass of people, zip lining through all these different things. But Miller says not yet, right? He says, mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it'll get crazy. Not right
Just
now,
wait.
Though.
Just wait.
He almost
that was
got
cool,
away.
Though, huh?
Yeah. Let's make him a blood bag.
Oh my God.
There's so much I want to hit. We don't have time to hit everything. Let me super dump. Let me slow us down, throw a quick e-brake.
Yeah. Blow one of our engines, please.
I read about why my super dump happened and I understand it and I kind of give it a little bit of a pass because it does make sense to me, but I still don't like it. our day for night doesn't look very good. My super
hey,
dumb.
That's mine too.
Yeah. It's too blue. This is it's too
the
blue.
Least convincing day oh, for I night I've ever movie. Seen.
So here's why I have a problem with it, because everything else is so spectacular that this feels a little cheap. What I found out is, I mean, I knew that he had a vision for a black and white movie, but the intention,
I want to watch that version. I haven't
seen it. The intention was always for it to only exist in black and white, where these day for night shots would look fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a like the Chrome version. There's some Shining version Chrome, that you can yeah. watch. Yeah.
The Chrome version.
That is black and white.
Yeah.
I definitely want to watch
yeah.
that.
But the just as it stands in a what I would call a at least visually perfect movie, this falls short of everything else.
Well, that's mine too. That's why Superdump as well. I've Superdumped, super pumped.
I'm out. See you, man.
I'm out.
Here you go.
Impress me. Entertain me.
Sure. There is, Carter, you've used this word a lot recently, and I like it, and I don't think
Australia.
Australia. Max, there's no movie that it describes better than this. Frenetic. This yeah. is a frantic, ferocious movie. It
yeah.
begins, first of all, I've seen this movie, I think, 5 times, and every time I think he's peeing at the beginning. Every single time.
Yeah. yeah.
This movie, but it is not endless and relentless because it has no other ideas. You know, it's not like it's just like, let's just jump from one set piece to another, because this is just a showcase of cool things. It is all no. really thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's very, I appreciate the treatment of the female characters in this movie as having agency and having
the women do power. All the saving in this movie.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah.
Max almost does, I don't want to say nothing, but like Max is along for the ride in a movie that's not about him. And I right. think that's very intentional.
It's the same thing as Indiana Jones in Raiders.
Right.
Where it's like if Indy never intervened, everything would happen the exact same
right.
way.
Right.
Mm. He has no effect yeah. on the plot.
Right.
And I think Max is a little bit, more has effect. More agency yeah. than Indiana Jones. Sure. But yeah.
But it's just, I think something I noticed this time, and this feels like something that somebody would put in IMDb trivia, but it's just something I noticed on my own, is like, as the movie goes on, the, what do they call them? Breeders feels terrible. The women that they have rescued from
the wives,
Morton Joe, the wives, they like carry themselves with a lot more confidence as the movie goes.
Yeah.
And they begin to like take pieces of other things and create these new outfits that are like, they go from sort of like scantily clad, stereotypical, like harem type characters yeah. into these like desert warrior looking people by the end of this movie. And it feels like a movie about reclaiming power in a lot of ways, yeah. both political power, military power, but also personal power, taking yeah. your future into your own hands in a really cool way. I really love that. And it should tell you a lot about how fantastic this movie is that that's not even my super pump, but it's just yeah, yeah. so good. And it starts what feels like huge. In any other movie, it could be a climax, this kidnap yeah. and escape attempt. But this is the opening lowest stakes moment of our right. movie. Is this, we've got him now. We're tattooing the information so that we can pull him out of a refrigerator, basically, like he's an actual blood bag, and give him to Nux, our war boy, who's having a tough go. And that, I think I want to take a moment and just sit in the world building of this movie.
Oh, it's so good. It's perfect. My super pump was almost the people on stilts in the bog.
Yeah, right.
And because they're not explained at all. And they're just there. And like, I understand exactly what they're doing, who they are, why they're there. Yeah.
Well, it's like we call Max a blood bag. We get some weird Australian pseudo slang, schlanger. Yeah.
Schlanger.
We get all these names of these people. We're never shown the bullet farm. It's never like, and just so you know, it's called the bullet farm because they make the bullets here. No. That's how they shoot.
But the guy, the leader does have a cowl made out of bullets.
Pretty awesome.
Which is
costume
so
won
cool.
an Oscar.
Yeah, it should yeah, have won good. An Oscar. I mean, it's just the world building
here. Was it because of the gas mayor's exposed nipples?
Could be that.
I think
so. I described this movie to Callie last night. We were laughing about it. I just said,
had she ever seen it before last
night?
Yeah,
she had seen it.
Okay.
This is her second time. I told her that if somebody asked me what Mad Max Fury Road was, I would describe it as a disgruntled ex-cop is chased through the post-apocalyptic wasteland by a bunch of kinky desert Vikings.
yeah.
It's just a bunch of desert Vikings that took a wrong turn and missed their like BDSM meetup and just decided to high speed chase this ex-cop.
Yeah.
It is the rule. I mean, you know how I am with rules, but they set up this world where it's like, hey, guess what? Here's the rules. They worship engines. Gasoline, bullets, and water are the three most valuable resources in this world, other than the ability to create life.
Yep. Yeah.
Here we go. Let's start the movie.
Yeah.
Who?
We're using a human being as an IV bag and strapping him to the front of a car. I mean, I could hit play on this right now. I could go same. Back absolutely to my living same room and press play.
The
right
script
now
is so sneaky thoughtful, though.
It is.
Like, I think it took me until my third, this is probably my fourth watch, maybe my fifth watch. I think it took me until like halfway through my second, maybe my third watch to be like, oh, it's more than just cars blowing up. Like, I think I knew it, like,
sure,
subconsciously, but then like being able to think about it and articulate, like, oh, Tom Hardy's performance is really good and subtle in this. He's doing a great job portraying what Max is going through. And mm-hmm. Furiosa, Charlie's Throne is great in it. And just, I don't know, it's sneaky.
Shout out
thoughtful.
Nicholas Holt. He ends up being one of the more wonderful character arcs.
He is spectacular as this unhinged, slowly dying war boy. I think a lot about every time I watch it, the scene where he is like freaking out because Immortan Joe looked at him.
Yeah.
And just like the way they set up this like idolization and worship of this man to the point where it's like, if he says, I got you, once you get to Valhalla, you're getting in.
Yeah.
I'm going to... The silver spray in the... Like, the things that exist in this movie couldn't come from a different mind, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, it's that kind of stuff. How do you pitch this to...
Right, yeah.
How do you pitch this to Zoe Kravitz and be like, here's what I want you to do in this movie?
It's very early Zoe,
yeah, it's an
way
early
it is.
Zoe.
It's a baby Zoe. It's a baby Elvis Presley's granddaughter. What's her name? Yeah. Riley Keough.
Uh-huh.
And it's an even babier actual teenager, Lottie from Yellow Jackets.
Dude, yes, right? The whole time we were like, I recognize her. Why do I recognize her? And then we finally looked it up. We were like, oh, look at that.
Oh.
The wonderful thing and the freshest thing to me, which Mad Max Fury Road is one of those that is so frenetic and visceral that like my opinion could very easily change in a couple of seconds because I remembered something else that happened. But... one of the best parts of it to me is you really can't place it anywhere else. You've already alluded to that, but you watch this movie and you don't get to be reminded of anything else.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
In 2015, it is so very purely and clearly wearing the badge of action, chase, violence, which in themselves have so many buckets and branches in Hollywood, but I cannot tell you a single one that looks anything close. Right? Am I crazy?
Yeah. No. It's a visual, it is a spectacle to behold this movie. Like, it is a visual treat to watch Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. It won sound mixing, editing, It won costume. It won set. It won cinematography.
Sure.
And there was one more.
It was up for Best Picture.
It was up for Best Picture.
Which for a movie like this
best,
is insane.
Best Director.
Yeah,
which
that's crazy.
Around that time, the Oscars were doing the whole 10 nominations for Best Picture. Yeah. But really the flex was George Miller was nominated for Best Director and there's still only 5 of those.
Yep. Wow.
And so understandably so. Like when we talk about his vision too, and I won't get too hung up on it. I can't guarantee that. like he gets to say, because this was filmed chronologically.
Yep.
Oh,
so
wow.
I imagine they had to blow a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah, 100%. He gets to say on the storyboard, okay, this is going to start with our protagonist eating a two-headed lizard live, whole. Okay? And everybody's like,
okay, sure.
Metal, I guess. Like, I love that what you said, how you described it to Callie. For me, it would be like, party picks up hitchhiker on the way to Burning Man. Like, it was just like,
yeah.
It's also so musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit in the second half for sure.
Okay.
It's a guarantee.
I'll super dump before the ad, so maybe we forget about it.
No.
My super dump is, Doge, you were talking about how you really do get to pick on some of the more thoughtful themes, like the thoughtfulness of this.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it actually, I didn't want it to, but it helped for me to have captions on for Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's tough to
hear. Oh, yeah.
My super dump
He's a mumbly guy.
Is Mumble Max. And I get it. I think he was just fully sold out to character. We spent 450 hours editing the film and nobody said, because they felt like truly it needs to be like that. There is a certain realism to it. Mm. I'm sorry that I can't enunciate
most
well when my
dialogue
face is in
the
desert.
ADR in this movie as well.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But yeah, Super Dump was, this being my second time, there was like half of his lines that made sense to me now. Because I feel like I didn't understand. Never knew a single thing he was saying when he was the blood bag on the front of the car.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's my Super Dump.
Yeah, no, that's valid. Yeah, I had a hard time understanding him too a couple of times. And it was, you ever have those moments where sometimes Callie will be like, what did he say? And I'll be like, one second. And I have to like run it back in my head three or four times. And then I can be like, okay, I think he said this.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. I had a lot of that last time. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
It's okay. Right. Just watch the cars
it doesn't
drive.
Matter. It's just cool.
The cars are driving.
It's just blood. I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with
it. It's not important. It doesn't matter.
Your car's not sleds. I don't know.
It is time for shout announcements. And then I plan on coming out of shout announcements swinging. So stick around.
To get swinged at?
To get swung to.
Swang it.
Swung did.
Schlanger.
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 Australian slang for penis. I looked it up.
Cool.
It's shout announcements time. Listen, it's shout announcements time.
I heard.
Next week. Yes, it's a grapevine. Next week, as we continue our Five for Fighting series. I'm not going to sing this time. As we continue our Five for Fighting series, we will be, this is ambitious, reviewing on Mini Monday and the regular episode, The Raid Redemption is what it's called. Cool. And The Raid 2.
Cool.
And that'll be Mini Monday for The Raid Redemption because it's a shorter movie, and then the full episode for The Raid 2. If you've never seen these movies, leave the preteens at home. This is a graphically violent series of movies.
We didn't say that before Fury Road. Our bad.
These movies are insane, and I'm very, very pumped about talking about them. So Doge has never seen either of them.
I haven't.
Pretty pumped about that. So tune in as we review The Raid 1 and 2 next week.
While you're sitting at home waiting for our Raid episodes to drop, you can raid and review us.
Nice.
On the iTunes podcast store. That helps our show a ton. It's a great way for us to attract new listeners, a great way for you to reward us with some small kindness for bringing a small amount of joy into your life. Spotify also has ratings as well. You can give us the appropriate number of stars over there on Spotify. I don't think you can write anything though.
No, which is maybe for the better.
This is for the best. I've seen the kind of seen the nasty stuff you guys type.
If you want to see the nasty stuff that a lot of your community types, you can join Discord.
Or you can get on Nextdoor. Honestly, yeah. Nextdoor is pretty rough.
Pretty hey, congrats on that sip, Jordan. That looks delicious.
It does look good.
Callie just took a cocktail class. For her work, via Zoom, and apparently has made me a delicious beverage.
What is it?
Well, that looks amazing.
It's brown.
It's brown and has an orange peel in it. I think it's some type of old fashioned.
Seems old fashioned.
Seems like an old one. Join Discord channel that is $5, and it still is and always will be only $5. You can join season 3 of Box Office Ball. That'll be next year. We are currently in wrapping up August for our season 2 of Box Office Ball with that fresh, fresh look. No, season 3.
This is season 3.
This is currently season 3.
This is season 3.
We've been around a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
we saw this movie 7 years ago together.
You literally, to pay $5 a month, you could talk to us every day. I'm not kidding. Many do. Sure. And it's one of my favorite places to go. On the $3 tier, you get an extra vote, which you do. Obviously, everything's included on that $5 tier. But you get an extra vote in our vote series, and you get some Patreon episodes. Which
you get bonus. I'm manifesting it. By the time this episode releases, our Sonic 2 episode will be done being edited.
It will
be posted. You will have all listened to it and loved it.
But yeah, we'll take that money, but we'll give you some good content from it.
Make sure you tune in. Quick update. This is a Negroni. She has just texted me to let me
know. I was going to guess that. I should have guessed that.
There you go. Hmm.
Looked like there was Campari up in there.
Squid?
No, that's California, Doge.
Calamari, here we come.
Calamari, here we come.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm going to super pump now.
Ooh, do it. Finally, some positivity.
I'm still sifting through the sand to find the exact words for this super pump. It's like a moment emblematic of what I love. I'm gonna spell out the moment in this movie, and it sort of is like the collision of everything. Well, no, I do love Carter has just made a guitar hand, which of course we haven't talked about the Doof Warrior yet.
We will.
We'll talk about the Doof Warrior.
Oh my God.
If it was called something else, I would be mad, by the way.
Yeah, no, it has to be the Doof Warrior.
Listen to me. I have a favorite moment in this movie.
Talk what is me. It?
When, I get chills talking about it. When our crew rolls up in the war rig, drives through the arch made of stone into the canyon pass, Furiosa steps out, and our friends on dirt bikes realize that she's not alone and she's being pursued by more cars than previously agreed upon. They get a little testy, and along with the rising of their anger also rises the song by Junkie XL called Brothers in Arms that begins with that like yep. And then it has the, I say, this song sounds like an adrenaline rush. That's what an adrenaline rush sounds like. When it does the like, it's got all the like, gun, 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 and then it's got this high like, oh, and then the dirt bikes are jumping over the war rig and throwing bombs down at it.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And they blow the thing and we're high octane, high speed, Junkie XL's, I'm going to say it, masterpiece of a soundtrack blaring. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It is colorful. Don't get me wrong. My almost my super pump was our storm.
The sandstorm.
The slow motion.
So much.
Unbelievable. The lightning. The car is flying. It's
when
just.
When it sucks the car up and then dismantles the car in the air and sucks all the war boys out.
It's
what?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
yeah, sometimes when you have like 10% CGI, it's glaringly evident in a movie.
Not here, baby.
I thought people died and they kept it a secret.
Yeah.
There's so many, car flippings that I'm like, that is the most realistic dummy I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
George Miller thought so too, by the way. He thought they killed a driver when he watched the dailies at one point. He was like, oh, is he okay? And they're like, that's not real.
It's a dummy.
Mercy.
The scale
like
of that
Harrison
moment
Ford
with the storm
fugitive.
Is incredible. And it's another one of the moments I'm talking about where the soundtrack's perfect and everything. This is just one of many moments in this movie. But there's a thing in movies where everything comes together and it's like Thanksgiving when you got sweet potato, cranberry, turkey, and a little bit of mashed potato all in one bite. And it's like everything comes together in this scrumptious, perfect moment.
Me too.
That is this canyon scene for me. And it's just, I don't know what to call it other than like the peak, the apex of movie magic.
Was I sitting between y'all?
So that we didn't fight?
No, in the movie.
Were we feuding?
We were feuding. I don't remember, perhaps.
There's a thing, and let me know if I believe you would have experienced it in this situation. It's going to sound so creepy. I shouldn't have prefaced it this way. But for the guys that I love the most, wearing shorts. For the people I love, for the guys that I love the most, there is something I can only describe as like a thigh grab.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
dude.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah. And just like grab you.
Yeah.
And we just all, it felt like there were so many moments where it was like every thigh was accounted for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like someone's grabbed mine. And we're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Make sure you snag a thigh.
We're all holding on to each other.
Dude, it's just, I'm going to call it movie magic just because I don't know what word to use here. It's the congealment. It's the cross section of these moments. They look good. They sound good. They feel good. They are good. It's just like, it gets me so unbelievably pumped. This movie has it in spades. But first place for me is this moment in this canyon. And if I could make my wake up alarm a video, it would be this scene.
I can think of nothing I'd like to wake up to less than that Junkie XL track.
I tried driving while listening to it today just to keep it fresh in my brain. And I looked down and all of a sudden I was going 386 miles per hour.
Wow.
I didn't know. Wow. My car.
Your teeth were silver.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Dude, it is. I'm done pretending that I don't just want to wax poetic about how incredible this movie is.
Can we talk about our war beat, our war drum?
Yeah.
The rig that they created.
Let's just talk about all the cars.
That is, it is just prop. It is real.
It's a real thing. The guitar really shoots fire.
It weighed like 130 pounds or something. The way we also chose to shoot this, which by the way, shout out to the unseen cars of this film. The ones filming all of the cars.
Driving the cameras. Yeah.
Holy moly. And everyone's committed. You can tell every bit of this is committed because it made a wonderful film. We're driving up. We've got the drums. Wow. So cool. It swings around to the front. Oh, the soundtrack is live.
Oh, they can hear it too.
What we're hearing right now is live. They've whatever hat, helmet thing they've made for this wearing red. The only person wearing red is our guitarist who is this blind wild albino piranha
he
man.
He is the doof warrior.
Yes.
Banging his leg and just playing this beat of like, this is the blood bag. That is the pulse of the entire movie is that character.
Yeah.
Because he is actually moving the narrative and and what's so funny in such a George Miller thing is to be like, doesn't this look amazing? It's not really a question, is it?
This looks amazing.
Yeah. To do that, but then to have the callback and make it in a thoughtful moment of Nicholas Hoult saying, witness me before he dies and gives his life for these people. That big explosion that brings down the arch and out bungees that sword again after, or not the sword, well, guitar. A sword guitar. Yeah. That bungees out in front of us and then pops back.
He knew what he had.
Which he knew you wanted to see it closer and he just gave it to you. It's like the person that they were like, hey, I can get you pit tickets. And then at the end, they're like, you can come back. You can meet him.
Yes, 100%.
No, come on.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a green room. Get whatever you want. Eat. You can take some home. It's fine.
They got jumbo shrimps. Come on.
Actually, we're going to go out after. You want to come with?
There is a gentle thoughtfulness to moments in this movie. Max finally giving his name after the closeness has been earned by the two of them.
Yeah.
I think that there's something really sweet about him giving her his blood after this movie starts with his blood being taken from him against his will.
It's his choice.
He chooses to give the blood up for Furiosa. So originally, I don't know if you saw this. I'm usually not the read up on trivia guy before we record because I like to be surprised by the trivia you guys read, but I love this movie too much. I had to read it. Did you see that originally this movie ended with Max on the elevator with them going up and Tom Hardy was the one that turned to George Miller and said, he wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Dude.
He wouldn't go. That's not what he is. He's got to move on. Ah, yeah. In the midst of this crazy... And I'm not going to pretend that this is some like Oscar-winning script or anything that deserves to be lauded for the dialogue choices or anything like that. But the story is thoughtful and clearly this movie is like, here's our food metaphor. I'm also hungry, but we just like food metaphors here. This movie is like going to a steakhouse and getting the burger. Have you guys heard people talk about steakhouse burgers? Where it's like the best burger you're ever going to have is probably at a steakhouse, but also there's steak. This is like the chef at a steakhouse coming out and being like, hey, I really want you to try this burger.
And just trust me.
It's not the thing that got them their Michelin star. It's not the thing that people are driving out of their way to get, but you eat it and it just outshines every other burger. That's what this is, right? It's this thoughtful, gentle moments sprinkled into this nonstop thrill ride of a movie.
Yeah.
And that is just one more. I'm not going to say it's the thing that elevates it above other movies.
Yeah.
It's one more ingredient.
All of the usually clearly colored orbs that are going into my mind with my Inside Out crew.
Sure.
They're all tie-dye during Fury Road. Everything is completely mixed because he is both blatantly and subtly creating stakes.
Mm.
Because I do believe he gets us more hooked and worried about the peril of Furiosa and the crew by giving us the little moments. One of the best action scenes is the first time Max and Furiosa meet.
Yep.
Yeah.
When he still has the thing on his face and now everybody's fighting him. You know, what's Holt's character?
Nux
wakes up and they're chained together. Like all of these stressful as heck moments, but we're still getting, you know, Tom Hardy is so incredibly emotive.
Can you identify a more aggressive drink of water in any movie?
Then
you
can
see the dirt coming out of it too. It's like dirty at first. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's perfect.
Just phenomenal.
And I told Callie, I slapped her knee and I was like, wait. Best warning shot in movie history right here.
Yep.
The goo-goo-goo right around her head.
Yo, it looks so
the
cool.
Best
scary.
Warning shot in movie history. It's so perfect.
I think something that lends this movie a lot of its, maybe aggression is the wrong word. Maybe kineticism is a better word. Is how much of it is played back at like 1.1 speed?
Yeah, right.
1.15 speed. Sometimes
and
even 1.2.
It makes 1. Tom Hardy's like, signature wobble look very funny.
Very wobbly. But so much of it is like, that's a little sped up. That's a little fast, isn't it?
Yeah. George Miller has always done that.
Yeah.
From what I can remember. Mm. That's been one of his things that he does a lot. And what's funny to me, in Fury Road, which is this perfect, almost exactly 2-hour movie, he's kind of like, but I get to do whatever I want. And this is a me thing. I'm not going to get rid of the action. I still want you to see this. I'm just going to speed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Need to see all of it.
It'll still be here.
Yep.
I'm just going to speed it up.
It's because he learned his lesson with Happy Feet.
finally, he learned his lesson.
Penguin. I mean, those real penguins, they just move so slowly that it's imperceptible to humans. He played it back at 10 times speed.
There is so much more to discuss with this movie, things that we've missed. We talked, you know, the guys on the, like, the bendy poles is so cool. The way that they fight, all of their combat is geared towards vehicles. It's like, it's the same as like knights used to ride with swords that were long enough to hit another rider because they knew they would be fighting on horseback frequently. Like
war boys are essentially like automotive centaurs. It's just like, they're part of it. Bullet farmer pulling a bullet tooth out to shoot.
Incredible.
There's millions of things. It feels like it's endless.
And then when he's blinded.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's
and then there's the two submachine guns. Just wasting bullets now because he's angry. I mean, here we are at the end.
Sure.
Chris Farley-ing again.
Sure. Well, I think that's going to be sort of a consistent theme throughout this series.
That might be this series.
That's okay, though. I think there
maybe
is just
five for Farley-ing.
We have the... Hey, that's not bad. We have the consistency of the like cancer, radiation poisoning, whatever it is that is causing these tumors. People's noses are falling off. Even Nux, who has his nose... You can see it starting to separate up at the top. Like he's going to lose his nose. Like the what's the guy from the guzzoline place? He's got like a false nose.
The nipple
essentially
guy.
Like the nipple guy. He has a false nose that's essentially like a nose monocle.
The man eater.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
I just like I don't know, man. This movie holds such a special place in my heart because it is, as far as action movies go, which everything's on a different scale in my brain. They're so subcategorized. But as far as action movies go, this is as close to perfect as I have ever seen and likely will ever get in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I long for the day that something beats this because I will lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doge, what looks cooler, this is for both of you, but I think Doge is a big Interstellar boy. Yes. What looks cooler, massive wave coming, massive dust storm coming.
Wow, what a question.
I think the dust storm is cooler because
it keeps going out.
It prompted, like when we watched Interstellar, I was like, whoa. And when the dust storm came out, I was like, Jess, are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
No way. I have a water thing.
It was terrifying.
I'm terrified of water.
Dust storm scarier. Dust Storm's cooler.
When there's lightning in it, you're like, oh.
The colors. What? All of a sudden, we have these purples and blues that we haven't had any of in the rest of the movie. We have purple, blue, red, orange, yellow. We have white in the lightning. We have this terrifying vortex, several terrifying vortexes all over.
There's like four tornadoes in it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I want to kiss George Miller on the mouth.
Yep. Who will be fighter number two in our five? Ooh. We got to make sure we do that. Who will join Ram Raju? I have my pick.
I think I have my pick as well.
As Doge ponders, in Five for Fighting, we are on this journey to pick our five for fighting. Essentially, who are the crew that more of our franchise films or American films need to pick out and learn from here?
I mean, I got it. I'm ready.
We started with Ram Raju from RRR.
Yeah. Holy moly. So
how did we
cool.
do it last time? Did we do it on three or something?
I think
it was
so.
Unanimous last time. So I'll go first. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Please.
Furiosa.
Yeah. Mine too.
Okay. I was going to say, so I was torn. I was going to say Nux.
Okay.
Just because most of Furiosa's actual fighting is driving a big thing. But now that you've said it, who does cooler stuff in this movie than Furiosa
right.
herself?
Exactly.
It's Furiosa.
Who is cooler in this movie than Furiosa?
I am jumping fully, fully, fully on board with Furiosa. It is definitely Furiosa.
Dude, our team is already Ram Raju and Furiosa.
Furiosa. Do we even need the other three?
I don't think we do.
Maybe what's best is at the very end of this series, we put together a team of five opponents from these movies for them to face. And
I feel that.
We see if we think
of
that the combined,
value,
the combined forces,
value.
Which might be a little bit of a dud because I think the good guys win in all of these movies.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've already beaten the people. We'll figure something out. Maybe they got to fight like, you know, somebody.
Oh, I thought you were saying from like American action.
Oh, no, no, no.
They all have to each individually fight Hans Gruber.
America against the world.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out.
Chunkies, you don't even need that whole seat. You're only going to use the edge of it
before we wait too far. Quick shout out. We mentioned it on Mini Monday and maybe even before this episode. We do know that Anya Taylor-Joy is confirmed to play a young Furiosa in an origin film about Furiosa.
I imagine
directed
it will involve
losing
her arm.
Yeah, directed and written by George Miller.
Yep.
So
it's been trying to get this made for a while, but the Mad Max rights were super tangled up and Warner Bros. Was like, if you make another one, we get to keep all the money from it.
And he's
like,
honestly,
I won't make it.
Hate Warner Brothers. Like they're the most toxic film studio as far as
they're pretty rough.
Like, as far as just like our way or the highway, and their way sucks and makes bad movies. Like, you know,
I think it's because they saw early success with Harry Potter.
Yes.
It was one of the first, like, of the new millennium, one of the first big franchise things. And so they're like, no, we're Warner Brothers.
But those
we also pretty much know what people want.
The more Warner Brothers puts their hands on them. Like,
I know.
There is a direct line of correlation between how involved WB is with the production of a movie and how bad that movie is. And that's really frustrating because they have a lot of great properties that they are turning to dust.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Let's rate Mad Max Fury Road on the Scientific Cinema Scale, which is, of course, perfect. And as follows, the best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it,
buy that poster.
The next best thing is going to be buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
How could this be anything but a poster?
Yeah, it feels like a waste of time to even give the whole scale. It's a poster.
I'm buying the poster.
Yeah, same.
It's perfect. I was lying about the Day for Night shots. I love them. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't like
them. They look so good.
You know what?
It's perfect.
Let's commit to each other. I bet that around the time of Furiosa, that Alamo Drafthouse is going to re-release Mad Max.
Let's go see it again.
Incredible.
Together. Yeah.
Would you go see Fury Road with me again?
Yes. And that'll be the last episode of our podcast.
We're done at that point. It's over.
That's
from beginning to end. I do have to say it was a bummer I didn't see it in IMAX when it came out.
Oh,
but
this movie deserves an IMAX screen.
I had a good friend text me who I know loves kung fu movies. And I was like, hey, you got to check out RRR because we're doing this series on the podcast, doing like a bunch of action movies. And he was like, yeah, I'll watch it. And he texted me this morning and was like, dude, you were 100% right about RRR. It's incredible. Y'all are doing Fury Road next week, right? And I was like, yeah, we're doing Fury Road. He's like, cool. Can't wait to watch it. I've never seen it.
Oh, your friend is in for a treat.
Wow. the sweet, pure little eyes of my friend.
Oh, be careful,
wow.
Little eyes. What, Mad Max you haven't seen yet?
Jaws' moms used to sing that to you whenever you were watching like MTV or something. My mom would come in and see me watching Degrassi, and she'd be like, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I'd be like, get out, mom. Trying to watch Stop. Aubrey Drake Graham roll around. At the speed of sound.
At the speed of sound.
My favorite Drake song. Tune in next week as we review on Mini Monday, The Raid Redemption, and on our normal Tuesday episode, The Raid 2. If you haven't seen them, watch them.
You're going to have to raid those subtitles too. There's a whole lot of...
What language do they speak in...
A whole lot of raiding involved.
It's Indonesia.
Yeah, what language do they speak in Indonesia?
I'm not sure.
Anywho, it's in that language, so you're probably going to... I assume, maybe wrongly, that you're going to need subtitles.
Yeah, maybe you don't.
Maybe you don't. And if that's true, I would love to know the name of the language spoken.
Yeah.
Hey, to end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what vehicle we would drive if we were a war boy. It could be an existing vehicle, or you could create a new vehicle from the ground up. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan Wonders. And you know those adult tricycles?
Yeah.
One of those, but with the tires of one of those combine tractors that like the tires bigger than your house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Just these massive tires. And my role would be lookout. I'm behind the crew, but I'm so high up that I'm just driving with permanent binoculars. And my eyes would be, you could see in the lenses that my eyes were massive. That would be my look. It's like I'm driving and you just see these big blinks everywhere I look because these big circles of the binoculars are huge.
Dope.
And it would be just leaking oil constantly. So it's just jet black and shiny all the time because oil's just trailing off of it because it takes so much oil just to get it not to grind to a halt.
Dope.
And also...
No, I'm just kidding.
And also it has flames on the side of it.
Yes, it does.
I'm Josh. And at the time we went to see this movie together, if I drove myself, I would have been driving a 2006 burnt red Nissan Titan truck with a V6 engine.
RIP, man. I know this.
And four beautiful round wheels.
And you'd take your new friend to Best Buy in it.
And that's what I'd drive in the wasteland. And it's sneaky. Because everybody would see that car and be like, that's a really crappy car. I don't have to be afraid of that guy. But they do.
Why?
I love it.
Because I'm Mad Doge.
Because he's Mad Doge.
Mad Doge. Fury Residential Road.
Fury Doge. My name is Carter, first of all. I am Carter. And I'd be driving a DeLorean. And it's really because DeLoreans are not very high off the ground from... like top of the roof. And my exhaust pipes would be, there'd be multiple because I'd be a big NOS boy. The exhaust pipes are spread out in a way to look like these hands that are ready to just accept something from the sky. Like these are these fingers. And what I do is I get under the big rigs and there's a lift with those exhaust pipe fingers that lifts the car up.
Yes.
To stop them.
Yes.
From going any further.
Incredible.
As I'm revving the engine out, there's just flames coming from these fingers to pick it up.
We didn't even talk about the harpoon with the rake that stops them from going. Just watch it.
Dude.
It's so cool.
Yeah, dude.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.